How then does all of this exposition relate back to the theme of childbirth? Well, to give some specificity to this question, I'm going to focus now on two critical issues that generate insight, I think, I hope, into the alien structure of the body. One, the sense that the body is taking over when giving birth. And two, the sense of strange wonder upon the first encounter with a baby at the moment of birth. So, number one, the sense that the body is taken over. From the outset, and here I'm sort of relying on a series of anecdotal case studies and literary and aesthetic depictions of childbirth, labor is not inaugurated through personal intervention, i.e. one does not, or I do not initiate labor, but rather through waiting for the body to begin of its own accord. So an American philosopher, Levesque Lopman, who's one of the first philosophers to write a first-person account of this, gives us the following quite nice, juicy passage. She writes, "Once labor has begun, it continues independent of the will. It is as if a woman's body is being taken over by force. She cannot will the onset of labor, nor can she consciously or intentionally alter its pattern once it's started. It proceeds to its end regardless of her desires. So once the process is underway, the woman's body becomes implicated by a rhythm which is not of her own making. Against this context, the pregnant woman becomes an actor in an event that is more encompassing than that of lived experience alone. The start of labor from a bodily level does not, therefore, coincide with the start of the labor from an experiential perspective. This is not only evident in the temporality of the event, it is also clear in the sense that the body in labor is to some extent indecipherable, beyond interpretation. From a first-person perspective, establishing what is going on in and through the body is not obvious. When the contractions do come, then they're not necessarily experienced as contractions, but rather as a vague pain in the stomach, which is dismissed as being incidental. Far from the transparent surface, the body presents itself as a depth to be interpreted. Contractions are understood as cramps, and the body in general is placed within the context of an everyday habitude, and so potentially misread. As the course of labor develops, the sense of the body as alien escalates. And one way that this is evident is in the sense of being swept up by a force outside of oneself. And several quotes here give us a sense of this movement of being swept up. So here's the first one. "The sensations are strong, overpowering, and can be at the same time delightful. One is swept away like a boat at sea and in a great storm of emotion and a tremendous sweep of physical energy." The body takes over in what seems a wholly marvelous way. And we can only be in awe and deliver ourselves over to this wonderful thing. And then we have another one. "My body wanted nothing more but to push. I couldn't help but push 3 or 4 times. For a moment, I was completely freaked out by the violence in me." Finally, "Before the epidural, between the two contractions, I couldn't resist. I panicked when I felt a contraction coming on. After the epidural, I could enjoy the moment more because it's true, every contraction I was scared every time. I was really stressed," and so forth. So we have here varying interpretations of a similar event. In each case, there is a characterization of the body as an overwhelming source of power, which does not derive from personal subjectivity, but instead from a force outside. In the first report, the climax of labor is presented in sort of symphonic terms, as a sublime crescendo in which all of the parts converge into a whole. Throughout, there is a trust in the body as a benevolent and benign force on the side of the subject. For her own part, the subject can submit to this without the fear of being engulfed. And it is true that the body is rendered here a thing, but this thing-like status does not impinge or disrupt the integrity of the subject. In other accounts, we find a characterization of the body as being irreversibly compelled by a violence that forges a division, a divisive division, between the personal subject and her laboring body, which in turn generates the experience of horror. But from where does this horror come from? There are several possibilities. The first is that the horror stems from an intolerance of pain and discomfort, the thought being here that anxiety emerges in anticipation of a pain that is inevitable and cannot be avoided. However, I think it would be short-sighted to reduce this to the issue of pain and tolerance alone. What is at stake in this is, I think, a horror concerning the advent of the body that is no longer one's own. The laboring body in its violence has become something that defies the story told of who one is. Alongside being a vehicle of pain, it has also disclosed itself as an alien object resistant to integration. In cinematic depictions, childbirth as a site of horror, what comes to the surface in these depictions is a sense of the body as escaping and defying ownership. So, for example, in the emblematic scene from Ridley Scott's Alien, where John Hurt's body is parasitically employed as a birthing site, what horrifies us as the viewers is not only the visceral destruction of the body, but also, and more enigmatically, the question of who or what is giving birth to the alien. And on this point, Merleau-Ponty re-enters, because if we take the question of who or what is it perceived seriously, then we have to also phrase the question of, in terms of who is the subject of birth. For the most part, zones of bodily existence remain integrated, such that there is no experience of the anonymous body as other. And this is also true of accounts of childbirth, of some accounts. So, for example, it's emblematic and characteristic that again, we should find passages such as this, that my body seemed to take over a tremendous sweep of physical energy. I had no doubt that I surrendered to the power of my body. However, not all accounts of childbirth conform to this sanguine interpretation. For others, the sense of the body as a form of resistance establishes a discord that contributes to the partial erosion of selfhood. So, for example, another writer, Chrisinda Hayes, writes how a host of body parts that had lain dormant to perception were suddenly present in a blooming, buzzing confusion. In the midst of childbirth, the impression of the body as irreducibly one's own is revealed in the most visceral way as being contingent on a configuration instituted by a thick network of habits, cultural practices, and customs. In childbirth, this proximal relationship to the body is rendered possible thanks to the fact that there is a preservation of a personal subject gazing upon her own body performing a series of functions over which the woman has little sway. Yet this is not a neutral experience, but instead one that is laden with significance and which can waver between awe and anxiety. As a dimension of bodily existence, anonymity is without a face, and yet it also speaks in and through us, and indeed it employs the human body as a vehicle of its expression. It is precisely because there is a preservation of these two distinct levels of existence coming into sharp contact with one another, that the event entails a strange tonality that can easily border on horror. And in this respect, metaphors of oceans and waves that one often finds in the literature tend to be predicated on the image of riding the wave, sort of becoming attuned to it, such that there is an alignment of one's own body with a rhythm that precedes and outlives one. These accounts of the body involving a sense of these accounts of birth as involving a sense of the anonymous body establishes a strange aspect that is also evident in the actual event of childbirth itself. Upon birth, this atmosphere is amplified in the baby's delivery. Merleau-Ponty himself notes this in his lectures on child psychology, writing that we often note that right after birth, a sentiment of strangeness and of unreality arises. One way this manifests itself is in a question that finds itself popping up occasionally in the literature. Namely, where did this baby come from? Here's just a quote to give you a sense of this. The midwife handed her straight to me, and I held her. But I had to be held for a while. I just was, like, looking at her and wondering, where did this baby come from? As though she wasn't mine, my kid, which is weird. And also, from another account, I was just overcome thinking, where did the baby come from? My support people both laughed at me, and later one said, you just like it was, wow. That's a quote. Where did the baby come from? There are several reasons for asking this question. In the first case, it is not obvious that the first encounter with the baby should entail unequivocal and straightforward affirmation. Given that there has been a large gestation period, which has been framed by an inseparable alliance between the mother and her fetus. De Beauvoir speaks in this respect of an astonished melancholy in seeing the baby outside and cut off from her. Beauvoir highlights the strange metamorphosis here, undertaken between an intimate knowledge of the body of the baby as an inner being who is figuratively and literally intertwined with the mother, to a stranger who now faces the mother in the most unfamiliar way. But there is another context here for the question of where the baby came from, and it's rooted in the narrative of labor more broadly. As we've seen, childbirth involves the interplay of different elements of bodily existence coming to the foreground. This rapport between different levels unfolds in a dialectical way. At times, there is a synchronicity of the body and labor, and at other times, there is a fragmentation. What is significant on the moment of birth is that there is a resumption of the I, the personal I, that can only achieve a retroactive grasp of what has just happened. Up until that point, when the body is said to have been taken over, there is a partial diminishment of subjectivity and a surrender to what Merleau-Ponty describes as the subject beneath me. As to the I that remains, it has become depersonalized insofar as it has been stripped of its personal attributes and swept up in the primacy of the anonymous body. At all times, it is implicated by a course of action over which it has little control. And in this respect, childbirth brings to light the sense that Ponty's terms, each time I experience a sensation, I find that it does not concern my own being, but rather another being who has sided with the world. Seen in this way, the immediate moment after birth is privileged, not only for its human value, but because it involves a constellation of different modalities of life coming together. For a brief moment, anonymity and singularity converge. As Cressida Hayes writes, from the head nodding coma of an endorphin soaked dream, I woke up into the fullest and most active state of presence. I was aware of every detail and the drama of my body split in two. It is against this fleeting moment that the body is handed to the mother, and she has to make sense of it. There is no reconciliation here between inner and outer, between the irreducibly anonymous and impersonal, and the overwhelmingly singular and personal. Holding one's baby is not enough to integrate it as one's own. To see with one's own eyes what is not real is not to see an unreal world, nor is it to negate the world in its concrete reality. Every sensation, as Merleau-Ponty has it, involves a seed of dream or depersonalization. In pushing a living being to the edge of their subjectivity, childbirth does not introduce a new facet of existence into the world, but instead amplifies how human existence more broadly is structured by this depersonalization. Such an opening issues a challenge, I think, to the dominant view of the self as a unified entity, always in possession of itself. And so if childbirth is marked by an irreducible strangeness, then this strangeness is as much directed to the stranger who is born as it is the strangeness of the body which itself generates the condition of birth. Thank you very much.